Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Murfreesboro Church this beautiful Sunday. Everybody stand, grab a favorite gospel songs. Let's turn to page 40. We'll sing all four verses of Glory to His Name. You may be seated. Turn over to page 92. The old song, I'm Going That Way. We'll do the first and last verse. 92.
Because today. I don't know about y'all, but I missed y'all last week. I did. I sent Brother Sam a message early on Sunday morning, and I was praying for him, praying for y'all for the service, and I was glad to hear it had a good crowd. I was glad to hear you had a pretty good service too. But I missed being here last week, and well, so much for vacation, and that's enough's enough is the way I feel. Some of them asked, did we have a good time? Yes, we did. They said, did everything go well? I said, well, we left out late Friday afternoon, and Saturday I got up with a kidney stone. And I said, I got over that by late Sunday. I had meant to go to church down at Cedars or at the Mission one, but I decided I didn't want to struggle through that kind of a drive, and so I didn't do that. So late Sunday, I got over that pretty much. And Monday, I throwed my knee out. So I've been in pain all week. So am I glad to be home? Yes. Maybe I can get well again. I've been wearing my mask just because that I've been around a lot of different people and such. So y'all put up with me on that. But I'm not going to try to preach with it on. I'll say that. But it is good to be here today. It is good to see everyone here today. And I hope and pray that we all are being blessed in a great way today. I will say, you'll notice that Paula and Heather and everybody else is not with me today. Paula's brother died in a house fire back a couple years ago, and they are dedicating a bridge in his memory today. And that's it was going to be with conference and everything. It was going to be kind of hard to make sure that she was there, so she decided to go to church with Christy and Luke today at Caney Fork, just so, well, that's provided Brother Luke doesn't get real long-winded, that, but they should be at the dedication in time for that, is what she's doing, and so keep them in your prayers today. But she said to tell everyone that she really missed being with y'all last week, and she was missing it again today. She already said that it seemed like it had been a month since she'd got to see y'all. And so there has been a great love that has developed between all of us and for you over just the last few months. And so we are thankful for that, and we hope that you will pray for them is what I hope you'll do. Let me get just a few announcements before we get into our service today. Today is our second Sunday business meeting. Every one of the members that can stay this afternoon, just right after service, we'll give a little bit of time for everybody to leave, and we'll come back together for our business meeting. The September 25th, here in a couple of weeks on a Saturday, we have Sister Kelly and them have managed to get the Premier Six Theater on Broad Street rented just for the church and the youth of the church. And we'll get to use that facility that day. And that starts at 10 a.m. for our youth group, so everybody keep that in mind. I'm going to go ahead and announce this, and as far as I know, it's going to come off provided, and as I listened to a man say today, the Wiseman Association will be here, and it will start on October the 23rd at 10 a.m. here. Smith County always has a fellowship service each year or twice a year, and they were announcing it this morning on the radio that it'll be at North Gorringeville, and he said provided that nothing happens with COVID, and that's what we're going to have to say as far as the association meeting. But I want everybody to pray about that. We've got a lot of things to do today in conference about the association meeting that will be coming up. And of course, it's here at our church. And so there'll be a lot of help that we're going to need for from everybody. Food preparation, doing things as far as the church service is concerned and such as that. So kind of keep that in mind as that will be coming up here in a few months, a little more than a month away now. So keep that in mind also. And I've been asked to make this announcement. I got threatened about this announcement. One saying, don't you announce it. And the daughter said, you better announce it. She didn't put it that way. I'm just kidding. But Sister Lane West is going to be having a birthday celebration here. And that is on October the 2nd. And I was asked to announce that. And everyone is welcome. They're going to put the card up on the board here. But everybody keep that in mind. She'll be, I ain't telling no ages. You thought I was going to, didn't you? I learned a long time ago, you do not do that. So Sister Elaine will be having a birthday on October the 2nd, and everybody is invited to that. And I appreciate them, the family doing this for her. It'll be back here in the fellowship hall, and everyone, please come. I do want to get on with our service today. Let's do our children's church if we can today. All you kids, if you can come around, please. Let's go over here to this side. Got a good little group of kids. I really thought our service was going to be very thin as far as numbers here this morning. But everybody has come right on out, and we're glad to see each and every one here today. But I'm especially glad to see our young people as they have come in also today. Kids, there's several stories that we tell our kids as far as Bible stories, isn't it? Y'all have heard of David and Goliath, right? You've heard about the three Hebrew children. You also hear about one other one most of the time, Jonah and the whale, don't you? Everybody know that story? Okay, let's try to get into this a little bit. Just for everybody to be reminded of what happened. Jonah was a man of God who God said, I need you to go over to this city. The city was called Nineveh. And he said, I want you to go over there and preach to them. What did Jonah do? He didn't go, did he? He got on a boat going the other way. And when he got out there, you know what it did? God prepared a storm for them. Rocked that old boat. Rock it over here. He'd rock it over there. Everybody got to getting real worried. They was afraid they was going to die. But Jonah, well, he was asleep. He wasn't paying any attention to it. But everybody was so worried that they was going to die in that storm, they just finally said, everybody, let's pray to our God. And somebody said, what about that one fella that we picked up down there? Where's he at? And so they went and got him, and they brought him in there, and everybody started praying about it. And they cast lots, and basically what it was is they had pieces, and they believed that if it landed in a certain way, that was the way their gods identified who was the cause of the storm. And the lot fell on Jonah. And Jonah said, yeah, it's me. I'm supposed to go preach to Nineveh. I'm supposed to tell them about their sin, but I don't want to go, he said. I don't want to preach to them. So he said, the best thing y'all can do is throw me overboard. Well, they rowed and they throwed some of the supplies on the ship overboard. Storm didn't get no better. They was fixing to die. And so he said, you got to throw me overboard. And when they did, the storm got quiet. That was a witness to them that God was in the matter. And many of them, I think, believed in God because of that. But Jonah, he was cast overboard into the sea. And Jonah thought, well, I won't have to go preach to Nineveh. But God prepared a great fish. We call them a whale, don't we? Now, a lot of people will say that's impossible, that a whale could swallow a man. Oh, yeah, I left that part out, didn't he? A whale come in and just swallowed him up. You think about that. How many of you like fishing? Y'all like fishing? Good. you caught fish. This time, the fish caught him. Think about that. He come up there and just caught him in his mouth. And he stayed down in the fish's belly. Anybody know how long? How long? 3 days. Actually, 3 days with three nights that he was in there. Now, a lot of people will tell you that's impossible. It can't happen. But what does the Bible tell us? With God, all things are possible, right? You see, that fish was a special fish, and I never really thought about it in this way, even though I'd read it several times. God prepared a great fish, is what the Bible says. God had a special fish for that job. You know, when y'all fish, whoever baits your hook has a special bait for your hook. And God had a special fish to do the job for Jonah. God knew what it was going to take to get Jonah to go to Nineveh. And what he did, he prepared that fish. He had a place in his stomach just for Jonah to go in there and live for those 3 days and three nights. And when Jonah got down to the certain place in his life, y'all know what he did? He prayed. How many of you have been in a fish's belly? Not a one, huh? But think about it. When he got to a certain place in that fish's belly to where that he was willing to do what God wanted him to do, he started praying. And that's what you need to remember. There's going to come a time when it's going to seem like everything is wrong. It's going to seem like everything that you do is not going to work. It's going to seem like there's times when there's no way out. And in Jonah's mind, in that fish's belly, there was no way out. But he started praying. And God heard his prayer. And his prayer was, Lord, I'll do whatever, basically. I'll go. I'll talk to him. And God caused that fish to spit him out. Right. He spit him out, and he landed on dry ground. You think he landed on a beach somewhere with sand? How about rocks? You seen a beach with rocks? Jonah was ready to go preach then. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, I bet he was digging up the sand trying to get going. Y'all ever do that on the beach? You start running real hard, just throwing the sand out. That's the way Jonah was. He was throwing the sand, ready to go to Nineveh. And when he got to Nineveh, he preached his simple sermon. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. A lot shorter than my sermon, right? Hey, I didn't get any agreements out of that. I thought every one of them said, yeah! But it was the sermon that God gave him. See, there's a couple things here that I want you to remember. God called Jonah to do a job. When he saw that Jonah wasn't going to do it, God prepared a fish. And when Jonah got ready to do what God wanted him to do, God had him to talk to the fish and made him spit him out. And then Jonah went and preached what God gave him. When God gives you something to do, always follow him. I don't want you to get swallowed by a whale. Do you? The big thing is, do what God says. Any questions? All right, we're going to let you go. Thank y'all. I appreciate our kids so much. Appreciate everybody being here today. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. We thank you for being here today. I hope that the Lord will bless you in this service today. And let's be about God's business today in this service is what I want each and every one to do today. We want to get on with our service today. We're going to start out with our prayer request today. And Landon, if you will, he's going to read the request from our Sunday school.
Dad, Kelly Hollinsworth's cousin Ramsey, who has been called to preach. Pray for school children wearing masks. Pray for our country and cities not saved yet.
Thank you, Landon. Appreciate the reading by our young people, each one that does that. Now I got to get this thing adjusted back without tearing it up, Brother Sonny. We appreciate each and every one that takes part in our prayer request. Does anybody else have any other prayer requests before we go any further in the service? I do want to mention, I didn't mention this in Sunday school. A lot of you have seen where Paula's brother-in-law, Troy, or our brother-in-law, Troy, where they had found him with cancer. It's looking much worse than what they initially thought. He basically is starting to give up already. They're saying that if he doesn't start eating, he will probably not even survive two or three treatments. And so they're trying to do some things for him. I would ask you to pray for him as he will be going through some things, I'm sure, here in the next couple of weeks. And do remember him in your prayers is what I want you to do. Member of the family, he has one daughter left, and she will need your prayers as well as the rest of the family. Just remember them very much in your prayers. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Yes. Let's do remember Brother Bill this morning. Anybody else? Go ahead. Oh, what here? Oh, what here? Oh, what here? Let's do remember that. Remember this. Somebody else. Yeah. Oh, okay. Lord help. Let's do remember it, Miss Ann. Okay. Lord help. Let's do remember this. Someone else. We could probably take up an hour-long service with people we know of that's got COVID, couldn't we? So we'll, and I mentioned a cousin of mine that's, his wife is not doing well, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But I want you to pray for her soul more than anything. As far as I know, she's not saved is the way I'll say it. And just remember her in that way more than anything. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another. Let's do remember all the sick. I didn't know about it until this morning, but Sister Suzanne has been not well, but she also fell. Got stung by a bunch of wasps or hornets or something. So let's do remember her in our prayers also. Somebody else. It's good to see each and every one here today, and I hope we can all be about the Lord's business today in this service.
Let's turn over to page 56. 5-6.
Everyone sing. If you long for peace and rest, in bright mansions with the blessed, where no trouble ever is, in heaven has it all. Thank you.
Turn over to page 78. 78. Last month or two, we've had a young family coming here visiting often with us. Brother Trey Yates is going to come forward and sing us a special now. Looking forward to this. God bless you, Brother Trey.
Some of you I've met and some of you haven't, but everyone I have has been very welcome to me and my family, so I thank you for that. It's my understanding that David would often sing prayers to God, and the Lord put this song on my heart as soon as I woke up this morning, so I thought I'd sing this prayer this morning.
Fire where once I burned. with shame. Grant me the desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, and pride. I now surrender all in me. Abide. O Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start your work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our needs. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Amen. Enjoyed the good song this morning. Appreciate Brother Allen playing the piano, Brother Brad for leading the singing. I hope everybody has enjoyed the song service thus far. And I just pray that we will all follow the Lord in this service today.
Heavenly Father,
does anybody have anything
on
your heart this
morning?
These blessings today, dear Lord.
Heavenly Father, as this done been stated, Lord, we just need to praise you, dear God, in this time, Heavenly Father. That, Lord, that we can come together in such a way that, Heavenly Father, that we can just all be together just praising your name. Thanking you, dear God. First thing, Lord, I'd like to thank you for is my salvation, dear God, knowing that I'm saved, dear God. And I'm also the salvation of friends, dear Lord. And I thought about it since Sister Regina died, dear Lord, and remember hearing her tell her testimony, dear Lord, the night she joined the church, and what a blessing it was in that service that night, dear Lord. And I think about the others, dear Lord, that I've been privileged to hear them say that they were saved either just before or some other time. I think about Troy, dear Lord, as he talked about how that he felt like he could go when they asked, and how that he didn't make it all the way to the altar, dear Lord, that he knelt down out in front, dear Lord, and actually, he actually got saved as he left the seat, dear Lord. I'm thankful for that, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for that blessing, dear Lord. And I think of these others, dear Lord, that are sick, dear Lord. And maybe it's time for them to depart from this world, Lord. You know them, we don't, dear Lord. I think about Brother Moran, dear Lord, in his sickness. I've heard him say several times that he looked forward to going over to that place, dear Lord, that we call heaven, dear God. And I know he's ready, dear Lord, for that. But Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that he is ready, dear God. And Lord, we are thankful, dear Lord, that we have that assurance, as Lord, as we talked about it in Sunday school today, knowing that it is well with my soul, dear God. And Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for that blessing today, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for these that we've heard testify, dear God, of their salvation, Heavenly Father. Lord, we love that very thought today, dear Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you gave us safe passage over the last week or so, Lord, that you allowed us to travel, dear Lord, and that we was able able to, dear God, go into that, come back safely, dear God. We thank you, dear Lord, for these many blessings, Lord. We pray that this church might be more thankful, dear God, and willing to serve you in this time, Heavenly Father. Forgive us, Lord, of our wrongs, Heavenly Father, and we just thank you for your blessings now, Lord. Bless this church, Lord, and open up their hearts and minds unto thee, dear God. For, Lord, we ask it all in thy holy Son's name. We do pray.
Amen. I appreciated everyone that prayed. Somebody else have something else on your heart this morning? Let's be about the Lord's business. I'm thankful that we have the ability as the Lord's church to follow His leadership, and that we do not have a program that says, by a certain time, we're going to pray, and this person's going to pray, and we're going to sing this song, and then the preacher's going to talk, and then we're going to, it'll all be over by this time. I'm thankful we follow the Lord. I think that's a great blessing, and one that we should always adhere to. Somebody else have a word on your heart? Somebody else? One thing I'm going to do here, when the Lord started leading me to pray down there, I started out thinking, and then I went into thinking about different ones that were saved and their testimonies. And one thing that I've had on my heart that I wanted the church to do, if you can, different ones of you, anybody that can, I try to do this from time to time, especially at new churches. If you would do so, write down your salvation experience for me. I'd like to have a copy of it. And what I mean is, tell me about when you got saved. If you can remember little details about what happened in that service, what you prayed or something like that, just write it down, hand it to me. If it's one paragraph, that's okay. If it's one sentence, that's okay too. But just tell me when, where you got saved. I'd like to have that. Now, if you don't not comfortable doing that, don't worry about it. But I've got a pretty good little collection of them. And I will make mention of this. Back several years ago, there was some people put together a salvation experience book. And maybe some of you have your experience in there. Mine's not. But Brother Otis Jones did a salvation experience video, is basically what it is. And he'd go to different churches and people would come up and tell their testimony as far as salvation on camera, and it is online. Look for mysalvation.com, I think is what it is. It may be salvationexperience.com, but it is on there. And you can see thousands of our people, talking about saved people, and you can just hear experience after experience after experience. And I will make mention of this. Mine is on there, but I went into the service Fairview, up at the Woodburn Church. I went up there for revival, and Brother Otis was going in. I seen him come in with the camera, and I thought, what is he up to? Well, when I got into service, they made mention that they wanted anybody to tell their testimony. And I was one of those, we'll say, people that basically said, that's not proper. Well, we got into the service. After the prayer, the Lord put on me. And I said, Lord, no, this ain't proper. There was a lady got up. She says, I got to tell mine. And she come up to the altar where they had set aside for it. And she just told her experience. Just bless my soul. Somebody else done the same. Then somebody else done the same. And Lord said, I told you. So mine is on there.
It ended up being a very blessed service, was what it was. And my experiences on there, like I said, with a lot of others. And it's good for people just to go in and take a look at it. And hopefully somebody hears something that really clicks in their minds. Anything else on anybody's heart? I would ask anybody that's been saved, if you would, write it down for me. Write down as many details as you can. Just write it till it blesses your heart, is what I would say. Anybody else got anything on your heart? I'll try to make this sermon briefly as possible, but we're going to take a reading lesson today from Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation, the third chapter. We're going to read one verse to you. This one verse is going to come out of the last church that the Lord sent a message to, the church of Laodicea. Laodicea church was probably one of the churches that was in the worst shape, is what I would call it. And the Lord had actually said, you're neither hot nor cold. He said, you're lukewarm. And he said, basically, he said, I'm fixing to spew you out of my mouth. So he had a great big warning for them. But he also had them an opportunity coming up here. And basically what he says here, 19th verse, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In other words, there was room for them to turn around. There was room for them to come back into favor with the Lord, was what they had. Now, our thought is actually coming from verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And that's reading 19 and 20 for our reading lesson today. And you've heard this preached several times as far as, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we'll preach it to the sinners that the Lord is knocking on their hearts, is what we'll do. And truthfully, it works. Don't get me wrong. I preached it that way myself because I do believe that the Lord is knocking upon the hearts of sinners. He does want to come into their hearts, is what he wants to do. But truthfully, this message was written for the church itself. Not only for the church of Laodicea, but for us today. It was written for us, is what it was. And he is standing at the door and knocking at the church doors today. Not the ones out here, but upon your hearts today. He is knocking upon your hearts. You see, you that are baptized, let me try it again, are saved, baptized members of the Lord's church. That is the church, not this building here. This is not the church itself. The church is the body of baptized believers that makes up the church of the Lord, is who it is. Now, the invitation was, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man open unto me, is what he says. Now, I want you to get the rest of the invitation here. He says, if he will come in, I will come unto him and will sup with him. How many of you ever went right across that? I have. He says, I'm coming in to have supper with you. Now, that's what we call it in the country, isn't it? We have supper. We have supper time that comes in. I realize most people call it dinner. That's fine. Same thing. It's a time to come in and have a good sit-down time with the family. In other words, it's time to come together, just have a conversation, if you would. Now, I'm going to give you a little background that's kind of come to my head about having supper or dinner, whichever one you want to call it, the idea that came back to my mind was when I was young and my mother would prepare a meal, and I'm going to use this when it happened at different times, either a family get together, but it also would happen during revival times when the preachers would come home with us. My mother would drive me nuts during that time, because everything had to be in its place. I'm talking about there was no dust in the house, period. Every piece of furniture, the pillars were fluffed exactly in place. Everything was in its place. Mother cooked for probably 2 days, having the cakes and the pies and the dressing and the chicken and everything prepared. She worked for probably a week about it. But all of that drove me nuts, because I couldn't enjoy myself about that, because she wanted everything in its place. But I do remember those times, even before that I got saved, when those preachers would come to our house and I would just enjoy, not the food so much. Yeah, I enjoyed food, don't get me wrong. I did enjoy the food, the dinner, and everything like that. But being around the men of God, being around the men of God and listening to them speak for a little while. Now, in this case here, what the Lord is wanting us to do today as a church is have supper with Him. He is the one that's coming to dinner. And I want you to think about that today. How would you be today if the Lord was coming in to just enjoy a little bit of time with you? You know, there was a recitation years ago that I remember hearing, and the person who made the story up, he said, I heard the Lord told me He was coming to dinner. And she said, in the recitation, she said, I got everything in place, and I got everything, the dinner right, and dinner was there for that place. How would you be if the Lord came into your house today? Are you prepared for that meal? Is the house swept and garnished? Is everything in its place? Is your meal prepared for Him? Now, one of the things today, I'm not worried about what we are providing for Him, but I want you to understand, when the Lord comes to the house, He's bringing stuff with Him. He doesn't just come to eat. He doesn't just come to talk. But He comes to have fellowship. And that's something we as a church, we should desire, the fellowship with the Lord Himself. We should desire that design that God has brought in for us today. Now, one of the things I want to back up to here right quickly before I go in any further, there is some things that needs to happen before that we can have supper with the Lord. If you're inviting people to come to your house to eat, there should be an invitation, right? We need to invite the Lord into our services. We need to invite Him into our church. So we need to extend an invitation unto the Lord. Have you ever invited somebody? Well, let me back up and say it in this way. Have you ever said to somebody, why don't you come over to the house? We'll have supper sometime. And they show up. You wasn't expecting them? A proper invitation is, hey, I'm having dinner today. Why don't you come over and eat with me? We'll talk. We'll make an afternoon about it. That is an invitation, isn't it? There is times when God wants us to invite Him into our house. The scripture said here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He wants us to open up our hearts, our church, unto Him. Many churches today, they will say, "I want the Lord there," but they give no room for Him to come into the house. The other thing is having everything ready. The other thing, we want our food to be proper for our Lord. We want to be ready for the conversation with Him. We want to have some laughs and joy together, one with another, even with the Lord Himself, enjoying the joys of being with Him. We, when He gets ready to go, I'll just stay a little bit longer. Why don't you? You ever tell your visitors, "I don't run off and be in no hurry"? I had a friend years ago. He said he had some friends that came by one night and they just kept staying and kept staying. He said, "I looked over at Connie and he said, 'I guess we better go to bed. I know they're wanting to leave.'" Me, I want the Lord to stay. That's the way we should look at it. But when it comes down to when it's time for us to leave, we want Him to come back, don't we? Our good friends, we should desire Him to come back and be with us at a given time. How we want the Lord to be in that place also, where that He would come back to be with us. And He wants us to want Him to come back. Now I want to give you just a little bit of a time about meals in the Bible. And you might think that I'm going to the Lord's Supper, but unless the Lord leads different, I'm not going there today. But I want you to see a time when a couple of men, after the Lord had died on the cross and at His resurrection, these two men were on their way into another town, Emmaus by name. And these two men, as they were going along, they were discussing the things that had happened. They'd heard about that Mary had went to the tomb and Jesus had resurrected. The other disciples had went. They'd heard about that. And they was going back and forth with discussion. And the Lord was right there with them. And He started to enlighten them. He started to tell them about the scriptures, where that the Lord must die and suffer and be resurrected, and how that it fulfilled the scriptures in those things. And as they were talking about these things, they got to where they need to be, and it was getting late in the day. And listen to what the scripture does say about them in that time. And as they, it says in the 29, "But they constrained Him, saying, 'Abide with us.'" You see, that's what I'm wanting us to do as a church itself. Have a desire to have the Lord with us, to abide with us, to be in our midst. You see, one of the things that I enjoyed about when the preachers would come, oh, there was all kinds of discussions. Brother Bill was a farmer, the pastor I grew up with. He was a farmer, and he and Danny and the other men would discuss the farming. They discussed the cattle, and I would get bits of wisdom out of them. But then when that he would talk with the other preachers, you'd hear discussion about church and about the Lord's work and about things that had went on. And those things have stayed in my mind, I believe, all throughout these times. And that's what the Lord had done. He had came to these two men and He just had fellowship. He had knowledge for them. My friends, today it is important for us as a church to just listen sometimes to what the Lord has to say for us. He's got a reasoning in those things. He wants us to see what is coming about. You see, we as God's people, we do not start out being full-grown Christians, quote, Christians, when we get saved. You know, a lot of people thinks that just because you're saved, you are a Christian. The last one I got to see saved that's here today, Ashley over here, is she a full-fledged Christian yet? Probably not. Is she growing in the ways of God? Yeah, every time she comes to church, every time she hears mom and daddy talk about church, every time that she goes into a Sunday school class, she don't learn much from me out of children's church, but the fact of the matter is, every time that she hears things about God, she is growing in the Word of God. She's growing in the ways of the church. She's growing in that. All of these things are like a milk out of to a baby. Our babies, when they're born into this world, we don't start them out on meat and potatoes, do we? We start them out on the milk. And that's what the Lord had said. But in the second, in 1 Peter and 2nd chapter, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. How many of us as parents remember when our babies were little and we fed them the milk? How many of you at the supper table holding that baby at one time, you maybe mashed up the potatoes a little bit more and give them that little bit of potato? Or maybe it was a pinto bean. I think Patrick's first introduction to hard food would have been Paula mashing up a pinto bean just as fine as she could get it and putting it into his mouth. And he liked it. You see, as we continue to grow and abide with the Lord, taking the milk of the Word of God and it helping us to grow in those things. Notice he says it is the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You see, with the meal that the Lord is coming to help us to sup with Him, to eat with Him, is to help us grow. To help us grow in His Spirit. To help us grow in His Word. To help us grow in His faith. Oh, I can remember as a young kid, I don't guess I'd been saved just a few months, and hearing a discussion of my mother and father about things that were going on in the church. And hearing that discussion, I wanted to weigh in. I wanted to put my part in and make my statement heard. Did I know what I was talking about? No. Not even the slightest little bit. But as time went on and I learned more and heard more and was able to take in more of the supper with the Lord, the better I was able to weigh in and to give that the Lord would have us to do. He wants us to see what is said in this third verse. As we continue to grow in the Lord, when we have tasted of that milk, He wants us to see that in the third verse, He said, if so ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Gracious is a little bit more than just grace, isn't it? Gracious is grace. Grace is an unmerited favor. But gracious has a little bit different meaning to it, not just grace. He's willing to give even when we don't deserve it. But He gives you plenty. Example, let's go back to supper time. Have you ever had somebody dish out your plate for you? Or did you really like it when people just pass the bowls? You know, you get your bowl right there and you take up, put it, no one would be too bad and taking out a whole lot of whatever it is. Most time you say, but that person says, I'll take out a little bit more. You want more than that.
take you a second chicken leg. It'll make you feel better. What they're doing, they're being gracious to you. They're wanting you to have your fill. They're wanting you to feel the joy of what they have done for you. They're being gracious in that very act. And by you feeling that graciousness, it fills you up more and more, and it allows you to grow in what God intends for you to be. You see, as we look at this, supping with the Lord has even more than we think about. We've had a conversation with Him. We've learned from Him. We've laughed with Him. Oh, where do we laugh? What is laugh? It's a joy, isn't it? It's a happiness. You see, God intends for us, when we come together in His services, in that meal with Him, He intends for us not to be so laid out that we are just almost as dead people, does He? He wants us to enjoy His presence. What I mean by enjoy, He wants you to want to be with Him just as much. Let me give you an example. Do you remember going somewhere with somebody sometime or another, and you and them in that car, and that person didn't talk? Maybe it was at a tuck. Maybe it was at a meal. But that person just would not speak. What joy was there in that? Maybe they were one of these people that just, they all they worried about was eating their food. Maybe they were just one of these people that just worried about their family. And they didn't make you feel at home. How does that feel? You see, God wants us to want to be with Him. Now, He's not going to tell us any kooky jokes. He's not going to tell us things that are just going to make us laugh. But His Spirit will give us a spirit of enjoyment so much. And what I'm trying to say is, that other side of the picture is those people that are so contagious in their talk. They're so enjoyable to be around. Oh, you just want to be there with them again and again and again. You've heard them kind of people talk. And you just said, boy, I'd like to go back and be with them again. See, there's joy in supping with the Lord. When we come together in our services, and basically what I want you to call to your memory now, right now, is because it was very evident during our revival that we wanted the Lord to be there. We wanted to be there with Him. And because we wanted to be there with Him, and we enjoyed being with the Lord so much in that time, you know what we did? We enjoyed it. We praised Him. Now, do we have to wait for a revival to do that? No, we don't. We just need to listen. We need to open up our ears and hear when He wants to come in. Let me give you one more thought, Brother Brad. I'm getting ready to close. How many of you have ever seen the painting, and I don't really know what they call it, but it's a picture of Jesus standing at the door. And it's basically, it's framed around this verse. Jesus standing at the door and knocking. If you've never really looked at it close, look for the doorknob. Exactly right. There's not a doorknob on the outside, on his side. Why is there not a doorknob on his side? Everybody's got a door, has got a handle or a knob on both sides, haven't they? How about our hearts? How about our church? It's up to us to open the door when he knocks. And he wants to come in and just have fellowship with us. He wants to come in and just be with us. He wants to just come in and sing with you. Did you know the Lord likes to sing with you? Did you know the Lord loves to just sit down and pray with you? He wants to sit down and talk. You see, what I'm trying to build up in your mind today is a want to. A want to be with the Lord. Remember that meal that you had with that special friend. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's just some person. That it was something that comes up in your mind. You remember how good it was. And then remember that church service where you had that same kind of feeling. That's what I'm wanting to create in your mind today. Let me change that. It's not me. It's what the Lord wants to create in you. Think about that today as we come back for our services Wednesday night. Hey, the Lord's going to be standing there knocking. Next Sunday, when Sunday school time's coming, church time, let me give you one other time he's going to do it. When two or three of you are gathered together in his name, while we sing.